Hi everyone, you're listening to Something Real. On today's Something to Talk About episode, Rich and Heidi are discussing a bit more about what Rich talked about on Tuesday, and really getting into how in this section of Luke, Jesus is calling us to take a look at how we really see ourselves. And then that translates into how we eventually see other people. So they get into that discussion today. Enjoy!
Okay, well, we're coming at you live, not really live because this is recorded, but from the Berrien County Youth Fair in Berrien Springs, Michigan, and this is a great annual event for our area, and with all of the chaos that comes along with going to the Berrien County Youth Fair, we're here all week and wrapped up with that, so we are recording from a camper outside of the horse barns, Stacy is still on a little break. Hopefully she'll be back with us next week. But as we're progressing here, I have another guest, Mrs. Heidi Clark, who is the elementary principal at the Chickaming campus of River Valley Elementary in Three Oaks, Michigan, and also happens to be my sister, and really excited to be able to bring her in. It seems to be a family affair. I keep bringing in family guests as we come in. Heidi, welcome.
Thank you.
This is also Heidi's first podcast, so
yes.
She's super excited and not in any way
super
nervous about
excited
it.
About it.
Because,
yeah.
You know, hanging out, talking with your brother in a camper is so unusual for you.
Well, you did cut me off from air conditioning.
That is kind of a struggle. It's tough to do a podcast with a whole bunch of kids watching Coco in the other half of the camper.
Yep.
But as we are working through this, we are discussing, having some thoughts here about Luke chapter 6, and we're looking specifically at verses 39 through 42. And as we're walking through this, I apologize for any sounds that you hear over this recording from inside, outside the camper, the horse barn, people walking past. Roll with us here. It's a good special occasion for us. But as we're looking at Luke 6, 39 to 42, Jesus is talking in a sense about vision, but really what he's talking about is our ability to see ourselves rightly, and he's calling us to a better view, a better understanding of who we are, and in relationship to that reality, how we see other people. If we don't see ourselves right, then we can't see others right. If we don't understand reality, then that puts us in a bad spot. So as we're dealing with this, all of this is coming off of the greater reality concept that he began with in the beatitude type portion, the blessings and woes that he worked through earlier in chapter 6. And Heidi, with your background, both as a teacher and school administrator, also as a mom and a wife, I think there are some unique perspectives that perhaps can be useful. Pardon me. I can't really relate to this as a mom or a wife. I've never done that. So
true.
There are some parenting principles that we can get. But how does this passage that we're reading, how does this relate to your work environment or your school environment as you lead young people and also a staff of adults? How might this type of thing relate to that?
Well, I mean, I think it talks a lot about leadership, whether it's choosing who you follow or how you act as a leader in the first place. I think that's what I take out of it a lot, is just leadership principles, as well as things for telling my kids who to follow and who to lead and how to lead and all that jazz.
You know, as you say that, there's quite an overlap, isn't there, between the professional life and the home life as far as, you know, teaching your own kids, teaching other people's kids, and leading adults. There are a lot of parallels, a lot of similarities that go along with
it. Yeah.
So I noticed even during this week, one of the beauties of becoming an administrator is you get a lot more meetings than you probably had when you were a teacher.
Oh, yes. Yeah. My favorite part.
even as we're going through fair stuff and having the kids working with their animals, you had to leave to go to some RISA meetings that are, you know, professional type things, and I don't even know what those are about. But it strikes me that it's possible for teachers to be really well-meaning, or leaders to be really well-intentioned, and yet still do a bad job, not know how to lead, not really understand the right ways to be able to teach. You ever encounter things like that in the school setting, where you have people that really, they think they're doing the right thing, they're convinced that their way is right, but they really lack the knowledge or the vision to be able to do what needs to be done in a proper way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we run across that all the time. But, you know, probably the most obvious example is a substitute that comes in to sub, whether it's in an age group that they've never experienced. For instance, you know, when Jeff got to sub in kindergarten all day long for the entire day, and he didn't love that. But just
Jeff is our brother that filled in last week.
Yeah, and just, you know, coming into a, whether it's not knowing the developmental age of the kids or not knowing the curriculum at all. And, you know, if you're... Sometimes subs get stuck in a classroom where the teachers weren't able to leave plans because they, for whatever reason, it was an emergency or whatever, or just left very vague plans, or, you know, so you're just feeling like you're following a dark path and you have no idea what to do or where to go. And
I've been there, having subbed for a few years myself, that can be a little disconcerting. My first... my first semi-long-term sub job was at a school that was in tremendous upheaval and transition, and they had lost their special ed teacher, and so I went in to sub in that special ed class, and I didn't have any lesson plans. I didn't have a classroom. We met in a closet for a while. not even kidding. A closet that was converted to a dressing room when they had a drama department. So we met in there. I didn't have a class roster. I didn't have any of the 504s or instructions for any of the students, and I felt really lost and overwhelmed trying to direct and lead and keep order in this situation, and I really didn't have anybody to turn to at that time. I think they were without a principal, if I remember correctly. So it can be really difficult sometimes, even when you really want to do well, because circumstances are bad mm-hmm. understandings, lack of education. You know, I see that with some folks in homeschooling that I've encountered. Some folks are fantastic with it, take it really seriously. And I have a friend that I went to school with, wasn't a great student in school, but when she homeschooled her children, she got very passionate about it. And she learned everything she could learn and you know, taught her kids. And when her oldest daughter re-entered during high school, she was a couple of years ahead in math. Well, I was in math with this mom when we were in school, and that was not her thing.
Wow.
But she educated herself and learned to do that. And yet I've seen others who maybe were better students, maybe they weren't, I don't really know, who didn't take it as seriously and seemed to, you know, just really... I don't know, maybe it sounds terrible for me to say that, but really seemed to shipwreck their children's education, whether through lack of effort or lack of education or whatever it is. So sometimes you can have people in the same situation, but how they approach it changes things. And as you're talking about that with, you know, substitute teaching and stuff, I'm thinking about the Pharisees here, and Jesus is primarily talking about them. That becomes clear because in Matthew he calls them blind guides. You know, he refers to them being these blind leaders. And so as he's looking at this, I think it's easy for us to forget that the Pharisees were well-intentioned. They meant well. They, you know, as a rule, again, individuals are individuals, but as a group and as a rule, they were seeking the revival of God's people. They wanted to really see those things go on, but they were doing it wrong. You know, so there's, even though they were seeking to guide God's people, they were blind. And so as they're leading, they're taking people into the ditch. And if you have blind people who don't know the way, following blind people who think they know the way, you're going to end up in a bad situation.
It's like driving with me before GPS, which you've experienced many times.
Good times. Well, you know, I see this in coaching a lot. You know, people think they know, especially with youth coaches, who think they know the sport or they think they know how to lead kids, but they really don't have the slightest idea. And so they're taking them in a direction, but it's not the right direction.
Yeah.
And it can be damaging. And you know, that idea of being damaging kind of reminds me of the that other portion, the next portion in verses 41 and 42, as Jesus talks about taking the plank out of your own eye before you deal with the speck in your neighbor's eye. So often we look at that as dealing with judgment. I don't think that's really the intention. It can apply in that way, but I don't think that's really the intention of the passage. But it does tell us something. If I'm trying to help someone, if I'm trying to help you get something out of your eye, and I got a board sticking out of my face, that's not just going to be not helpful. That's going to be damaging. I'm going to hurt you in that process. And I think that happens when we try to lead and guide and help people without humbling ourselves to realize that maybe I don't know what I think I know. And that seems to be kind of the point that Jesus is making here in putting these two things together. Luke says it as if it's one parable, even though it's a couple of different metaphors that he's using. That, you know, that idea that I have to see myself rightly. I have to understand what I don't. I got to know what I know and what I don't know. I have to understand what I don't understand enough to be able to seek help. And so if the Pharisees had recognized that Jesus is speaking with an authority, as everybody else recognized, if they had recognized that, rather than trying to lead according to their own expectations, then they might have been in a whole different situation. And the few that did, Nicodemus comes to mind, encountered Christ. And we have every reason to believe that Nicodemus turned to Christ. He was with Joseph of Arimathea at the crucifixion and helped with Jesus being buried. So we can be, as Pharisees, we can still humble ourselves and see rightly and follow Jesus as teachers, as coaches, as parents, as spouses. When we don't know what we're doing, it's okay for us, I think, to admit that, to say, hey, you know what, I don't know. And before we started recording, when you and I were talking prior to the recording, you had mentioned the idea of let's find these answers together. You know, if I don't know, it's okay to not know. Nobody knows everything. But let's discover, let's humble ourselves enough to be able to discover together what those answers are.
You know, I love the message.
I
know you do. That section right after talking about the blind, leading the blind, it ends with, the point is to be careful who you follow as your teacher. And I just like that line because that's what it's talking about is there are countless bazillion examples of people like with good intentions following really poor leaders.
Absolutely.
Whether they're
that's
intentionally
what every cult is
poor.
Based on.
Right, exactly. So I just, that statement, you know, the point is to be careful who you follow as your teacher is like, ding, you know, especially when you've got, you know, we have teenagers. Well, you have a pre-teenager right now, and I have couple of teenagers, and just it's that constant reminder that, you know, you can't take your, whether it's a movie or music or TV or a person at school
or news,
you've
media
got, yeah, I mean, there's so
media.
Many sources of bad information, right. And bad places to follow that the only source is God's word. So.
It's funny how much of God's word, you know, the principles apply in every area of life. We might be talking about spiritual leadership here, but this applies to teaching your kids about dating, you know, being able to discern who you can trust and who you cannot,
right.
And who has your best interest at heart. And so, you know, in looking at this, the way Dr. Peterson captured it in the message, and I can always count on you, whatever we're talking about, to bring the message up into it. And, you know, I think every sermon I preach, you end up posting those verses from the
message. I do that most often with very familiar passages because it gives me a different
stuff
that
take.
I've seen, that I've been reading since I was a kid.
Change
you know
the
how you scan
bit.
Through something,
right.
it just makes me read it more carefully and in a different light than I might have read it before.
Especially if it's one that
that's
you're familiar
why I'm kind
with,
of
like you said,
kind yeah. of into finding another translation sometimes.
Right. Yeah. It's and the way he renders it there, I think, really captures the idea that, you know, Jesus, the Pharisees are probably present. They're not listed here, but they seem to always be present everywhere he goes because they're kind of hawking in on him. But what we know is he's speaking primarily to his disciples. And then there are also the seekers who are there wanting to get healed, wanting to get, you know, connected with him. But they haven't really become disciples yet. They're not Christ followers, per se. But he's speaking about the Pharisees with them, and then also, or to them, and then also speaking to them about their own helping people. Get the plank out of your eye before you try to help somebody else. And so I think the point really does come back to what Dr. Peterson says there, that you need to know who to follow, and you need to know what kind of a leader, helper, brother to be, because contrary to what Cain said after killing Abel, we are our brother's keepers.
Right,
and,
right.
and as Christ followers, knowing that we are one family in Christ, and we're as a body, we need to be building one another up. We see that over and over in the scriptures. The idea is not to help your brother get the speck out of his eye. If you see somebody that you care about, you're in conversation, and you see something, you know, on their face or in their eye, the normal thing is, hey, hold on a second, you got something there. But if you've got stuff all over your face, that would be a dumb thing to say. Mm-hmm. And Jesus takes it so much farther with this, you know, caricature that, I mean, it's really what it is. He's given this laughable illustration. The people must have laughed when he said it, like a plank in the eye, ha ha. You know, so imagine a surgeon trying to do eye surgery. Hits close to home for me after having that eye surgery not too long ago. But a surgeon who can't see because he's got junk in his own eye, that's a terrible thing.
Right.
You could end up blind forever because of that. So the idea isn't to not get the speck out of your brother's eye. The idea is to get the plank out of your eye.
So that you can help.
Right. Because we do need to help one another. The judgment thing is a separate passage that he says right before this. And rightly so. We do need to be mindful about judging others. And that's never the case. If we're looking to catch people doing wrong, if we're looking to make ourselves look better because somebody else is, or feel better because somebody else is doing bad things, then we're in the wrong place. That's not love. That's not anything like what Jesus has called us to, and it's not anything like what we see in him. But, you know, he never fails when he's with people and talking with them about their situation. He never fails to you know, shoot straight. You know, he doesn't pull punches with people. The woman at the well in John 4, you know, he says, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, actually. So, you know, the guy you're living with now, you know, he's not your husband. And she's like, whoa, what's going on? He wasn't cruel, and he wasn't looking down on her, but he never hesitated to say, there's sin, and you got to stop the sin. Even with the, you know, the woman who was being stoned, and Jesus says, whoever, you know, is without sin, throw the first stone. She gets up. He doesn't condemn her, but he says, go and sin no more. So he's always ministering out of love. And when we minister out of love, then we take that speck out of our brother's eye. We try to help them with that, with their consent, because that's what love does. And if you got a plank sticking out of your eye, it's not likely
I'm going to... It's very difficult, right?
Right, and I'm not going to give my consent for you to help me.
Right.
Are you serious? You're going to say I got a speck in my eye? Dude, you've got bored face. What's going on
yeah.
here? You know, we got to get that.
Again, the message says, it's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly smear on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted? And then it goes on to say, wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. And
yeah.
It's that same idea.
Yeah, and it's not in any way about ignoring what's on your neighbor's face. It's about get your priorities right.
Right.
Get your vision set so that you can see yourself for who you really are.
So that you can help.
Absolutely.
Right.
Stop seeing yourself as more righteous than you are. And in Romans 12... Paul tells the Roman church, and you know, that's a passage that I go to a lot. But he says, I said, each one of you, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but with sober judgment. So our tendency is to get self-focused. Whether it's high self-esteem or low self-esteem, it's a focus on self. And he's saying, look, just get a right assessment. Don't debase yourself. Don't think, oh, I have no talent, or you know, I'm never going to be able to please God. I'm just a wretched sinner. Well, you were a wretched sinner before Jesus took that sin away. Now you're a saint who still sins, who still has wrong things, and you got to get those things right. So for us to be able to walk through this life, to be able to lead others, to guide others, which we are called to do, then we need to be able to recognize where we are, to have a right, honest assessment of ourselves in order to be able to honor God in that way. That seems like a pretty good place for us to wrap this up. There's a whole lot more that I would love to talk to you about along these lines, but it seems like that's a good stopping point. I really wanted to get into some more time. I wish we could do another podcast of it to talk about people living from their wounds, from the wounds of the past, and how that shapes our ability to interact with others today.
Well, this small handful of verses has so much in it.
There's a ton.
First, I was like, well, that's not very much. And then I was like, well, that's a whole bunch. Yeah. It's like,
now you know why my sermons get so long on Sundays. So. All right. Well, with that, we'll wrap this podcast up. It's been good having something to talk about with you. And with that, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see everybody next time.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our shows on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, and on pretty much any podcast platform you'd like, including YouTube. So be sure to join us 3 times a week. We look forward to it.